But what kind of things are you talking about? Community centers, playgrounds, facilities, or?
I think it's all of the above. It's, you know, we're working to build our first ever library that the city owns. After that's done, we'll work on the first ever rec center that the city is on. So our city is 153 years old, and this is the first time we're building these facilities. And so that's phase one.
Welcome to this episode of the Building Texas Show, talking to Mayor Dr. Chris Harvey. Dr. Harvey, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here. I'm definitely happy about sharing about our city.
Well, I like to start off with, how did you become mayor?
I moved to Manor in 2006, and really what got my interest in trying to be involved was looking for opportunities for youth, young people, to be able to play outside, have productive engagement in our community without getting in trouble. And I learned that we didn't have any public facilities. And so I tried to work within my job and community organizations to kind of keep kids engaged. This is very just couldn't solve the problem from outside the system. So I ran. Then I finally got on council in 2019. It was to learn and try to invest in young people. And in 2021 is when I was elected mayor.
That's fantastic. And I do see a need for young people to have things to do. But what kind of things are you talking about? Community centers, playgrounds, facilities? Well,
I think it's all of the above. So our city is 153 years old, and this is the first time we're building these facilities. And so that's phase one. We've already went to the public for it and got the bond dollars for those projects. But then it's about the programming, the mindset, the attitude, connected with our local school district, supporting them with their college and career military efforts, bringing in employers, internships, apprenticeships, you know, keeping them busy 24/7, you know, 365 days a year, pouring into them and encouraging, empowering them so that they not only grow up strong, but also creating opportunities for them to go to university or trade school and then come back and stay in Manor and continue the cycle of building a thriving community.
I see this across the state. We're exporting our talent. So that drives me to ask about economic development and opportunities for kids that are in your community. Are they seeing that economic development come to Manor that's going to keep them there?
They're definitely seeing the stores and the businesses coming into our area. We're also working to bring in a lot more employers. And so for many years, our school district was our largest employer. And then we have since then pivoted to now have logistics and companies that support semiconductor and manufacturing that are now part of our community. We have some companies that are moving into the area from to support Samsung and some of those other businesses. And so we have a lot of different things going on that are where our young people and even our adults are seeing that it's worth hanging around and trying to invest in and staying here.
And I imagine that lives in a comprehensive plan of sorts around economic development and then community need, because you are a community that's growing in a region that's seeing a lot of growth around Samsung and semiconductors.
Yes. So, I mean, it's our region is, I call it the golden triangle of opportunity, just because of the major companies that are around us. And so it's been a blessing to be in this position where initially we spent a lot of work trying to recruit and let people know that we were here. And now we're in a situation where our recruiting efforts are for local resources. They just kind of standard town things. We don't have to push as hard as any for anymore. Now we can just work on targeting the things that we want to do out here.
That's great for programming and ensuring that people know what's happening, what's coming to Manor. And part of that, I've heard a conversation about a hospital and conversations about public need. So what is the community looking at as they continue to grow?
Yeah, so we have had a lot of conversations. We spent some time and have been successfully to build a relationship with St. David's. And so they've brought their emergency center here. So a full service center where there's beds and they can do pretty much everything they can do here downtown. And then We have done a feasibility study, and what we've been able to determine is that we can possibly provide a 50-bed hospital in this area. And so now we've been working with doctor groups and a few other hospitals and looking at how we can not only provide that major resource here, but also redirect and bring clinics and specialty care services, primary care services to an area. We have a few areas we're thinking about, both all three above 50 acres of land where we reconcentrate those resources.
It makes perfect sense to me, and it is a tremendous need in many communities. I've heard Bastrop have similar, and then Garland, Texas is the biggest city in the country without a hospital. So as these communities grow, public safety, public health is a continued conversation. I want to go back to Maynard's growth and talk about housing, because you're in an area where housing costs and housing prices have been growing. And then you have a lot of greenfield growth, I imagine, as well.
I think from 2013 to 2023, 225% growth. And then we are now looking at another 22,000 people by 2030, because we have 14,000 units in the planning process, and we're averaging about 2.7 to 2.9 people per unit. So we're anticipating another 22,000 or so to come to our area. In regards to housing, for when we first got started, we were kind of seen as a bedroom community for the city of Austin. And what we did not want to do was just have a lot of houses and not have community. And so as we've learned, when your entire community is sitting on a residential, you have to have a high tax rate to support any other new improvements that you're going to do. And so for many years, I don't think our community leadership took an aggressive enough stance on how many residential units were coming in, nor take an aggressive approach to economic development. And so right. What they kind of did was lead to a situation where we're now having to address those challenges, those missed opportunities in the past, taking care of the needs of the present and plan for the future.
Well, and I appreciate you mentioning the property tax versus economic development. And when you can have that in harmony, you can see a lot of business growth that will help keep property tax down. But when property tax is your only driver, that's going to be a more expensive place to live from a tax perspective.
Yeah, and it's something we're working to try to educate the residents on so they can understand that the tax rate is not the tax rate because we want it to have a high tax rate. Being able to get to a lower tax rate is city leadership's dream. And so we have to try to rectify a lot of situations from the past. In 1985, we voted to give our sales taxes away for certain services. Yep. And those services are now receiving so much money from sales taxes that most of it is more than what those entities need. So we'd like to actually recoup those dollars back to the city so we can create and send more dollars back to roads, to parks, to fixing drainage issues and those sorts of things. And those things, having those dollars back will allow us to actually lower our property tax rate and invest into a 4A and a 4B for economic development and a few other things. And so it's paramount that we get those things back.
That growth also prompts me to ask you about your school district, and that's a separate entity. And I understand that from a leadership standpoint. But I imagine the city and the school district are working together to say, how do we facilitate 22,000 people in growth and continued growth trajectory that you've had?
Yeah, so one of the things we have going on is our city manager and the superintendent try to meet regularly, and we're sharing numbers and data statistics with them so that they're fully aware about what's coming down, what we're seeing versus kind of like an outside demographer and the information that they may be providing. So we want to make sure that they're seeing all the information, what's coming down, knowing about the employers recruiting, but also ensuring that when we bring employers to the area, that we're connecting them directly to the school district for workforce development opportunities. And so we're trying to work hand in hand in that. And that's something we've been able to do in recent years just because of the school board and the superintendent that's there now.
Well, it's incredible work when you see it done well, because it does promote those kids seeing opportunities that are in their community, right there in their neighborhood, for jobs and career growth. Where else can people find information about Maynard and get involved if they're a citizen in Manor?
Great question. One of our tasks was to increase communication. And so we actually now have a what we call our news broadcast, since we don't have a news station. So every Monday, we actually post on social media, Meet Manor Mondays. And it's our, you know, quick minute and summary of what transpired in the following week, what we have coming up, new holidays, events going on. And so Meet Manor Mondays is one space. We have a website, MaynorTX.gov. And then we also have our city Facebook page. And I think those are good places to go. I have a Facebook page as well. Facebook at Mayor Dr. Harvey, where they can find information there. And then come to city council meetings, first and third Wednesday, 7 o'clock. That's always a good place to get the information. And I'd like to piggyback on that, say that one of the things we're doing is setting up regularly scheduled town halls, opportunities to meet with me. And so we have a committee that's called the Mayor's Community Collaborative, where I invite community leaders, church leaders, HOA members, anyone that's wanted to not only learn about what we're doing, but create two-way communication opportunities. And that's every fourth Tuesday of the month. And we also have some other events coming up later this month where if you like to walk, you can come and meet me one Saturday morning and walk a mile with me. And we'll just walk and talk about any questions you have about the city.
Well, I applaud the effort from you and the team that put out all of that communication and accessibility. I would remind citizens in any city to look at their comprehensive plan, because showing up at city council, you might be too late when they're talking about it in city council. Some of these plans typically take 10 years, but you're trying to do them in 2 to 3 years because you're facilitating growth.
Correct. We actually did our first, our city's first ever comprehensive plan ever. And please read it. It's pretty thick. It's about 600 pages, but it's a good place to start and see where we're trying to go in the next 30 years.
Well, compliments again to you and the staff for putting that together. It is directionally critical for what you're doing and to bring those other entities like school districts along and what you're planning, what they're planning, and how to make the best Manor for the future that is going to retain kids and bring new opportunities to the region. Well, Dr. Chris Harvey, I really appreciate the time today. I know you're a busy man and you have a lot going on in your city. So thank you for those efforts. Thank you for putting yourself out there like this and communicating and promoting Manor.
Yes, sir. Thank you again for your patience. It's been kind of busy up here in D.C., attending some different trainings, advocating for transportation and a few other things that we're working on. So I appreciate you allowing me to kind of pause and connect with you while I'm up here.
Well, thank you and have a wonderful trip. And thank you for building Texas.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for watching this episode of the Building Texas Show. Please like and subscribe on YouTube to follow along as we travel the state building Texas. Thank you to our sponsor, Chisos Boots, and their damn comfortable cowboy boots.